I'm Lizzie.
And I'm Izzy, and we need help.
Each week, we stumble through a new book, method, or concept that brings us one step closer to being our best selves.
Yes, we make fun of ourselves.
And others.
But mostly just ourselves. So here's to not taking self-help quite so seriously.
Welcome to We Need Help. I'm Lizzie.
And I'm Izzy. And today I am super excited to share with Lizzie my review of the book Empowered Wife by Laura Doyle.
Ooh, we're all going to be so empowered after this.
Yeah. I was like freaking out before we met because I have so many notes and I couldn't get them to print because my printer wouldn't work. And I saw this meme recently that said, I don't know which machine Rage Against the Machine was talking about, but I'm assuming it was a printer.
Why do printers never work?
Like Rage Against the Machine was a printer.
Weird. I was just thinking about Raging Against the Machine. That very, like, I was like, it was in my thoughts this morning. That's so weird that you brought that up. We're that so band? Connected.
The band?
Yeah.
Like, in
yeah.
Head? Why?
Yeah. And I was like, I was listening to Jordan B. Peterson. Do you ever listen to him?
All the time. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's one of the great minds of our time.
Yeah.
But he was talking about not doing the right thing. And for some reason, it was just like good. And when you go against like the cog, I was like, oh, you're kind of raging against the machine. Against the machine. You know what I mean? Like I was having that in my mind, but which was not a great thought. But the fact that you brought it up means that we're so connected
in every way. Yeah.
And we've recorded twice this week, and I feel like we didn't speak for like 3 weeks, like during our break, and it was the loneliest time. I missed you so much.
Oh, how has your last 3 days been?
My last 3 days have been great, and I've been saunaing. I want to tell you more about this.
Your skin, I wanted to say, looks fantastic. You look like 2 weeks younger.
Thank you. Again, if I had a dollar for every time I heard that, I would have $1.
$1.
$1. Well, and plus I have red light therapy, Jason, installed in there for me. So you're not going to recognize me soon.
Okay. So tell me about the saunaing and tell me about the effects that you actually feel, notice, etc. We're going to do a whole episode on this, by the way, but just like the...
Well, and everybody needs to just walk on a daily basis with me on this journey because you sleep better, you look better. I think it does have something to do with your libido. It's definitely like I'm seeing effects like that because we've been doing it for a couple of weeks now a week and a half now. And then the red light therapy, you like it. Helps you produce collagen. It helps with scars. I mean, there's all different kinds of benefits. And I think my skin does look better.
It does. I can see it here. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I think it does. So.
That's cool. Like you're less, not that you were puffy, but you're less like even everyone has slight puffiness in places, but you're like very smooth.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel smooth. I feel good. Although this just in. Coast to coast, LA to Chicago. Oh my God. Oh, Sade, I love you. If a man makes you think of Sade, like if you like connect a man to Sade, you are in full fucking love with him.
Oh, even if it's not your partner.
It doesn't matter if it's not your partner.
Do you have somebody that you associate with Sade?
No, I have everybody I associate with Sade. No, just one. Just my one and only.
Okay.
Okay. I don't know where that went. But okay. So let's talk about what we're here to talk about. What do you want to do? Did anything happen good for you this week?
I'm sure it did. I can't remember now.
Did you happen to call Maciek a cunt?
No. No, so it was kind of an off week. I called him an idiot, but I was like kind of half joking, but he got a little upset. He's like, I have never called you an idiot. I was like, that's true.
Well, maybe it was the half joke that he took offensive to. Yeah,
but he focused on the wrong half. Like,
yeah, such a glass half empty kind of guy.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was a good week. I mean, it was like one of those busy weeks, but I like busy because then I don't have time to sit around and like think about, you know, being in self-pity or anything like that. I'm just like in action. And it was like a really, really good. Things just flowed this week. I feel like 2024 is just like in the flow.
I think so too. And time doesn't seem to be going as fast.
Yeah.
Which is a welcome change from the roller coaster 2023 was.
Yeah. It's funny because I was talking to a girl today and she said that because I said I'm really happy that it's an even numbered year because those have been like better years for me and I feel better. And she's like, oh, it's the opposite for me, which is funny. I think she said some people like the odd years, some people like the even years. I think for some reason, my soul, it feels calmer in the even years.
Yeah, I've never met somebody with an odd year liking.
Preference. Yeah.
Preference.
Yeah.
Did you say you might want to have that looked at?
Yeah, I got a cream that can take care of that. So, The Empowered Wife, which is a book that I picked up, which is, I want to share it with you.
That's why we're here.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm in.
So, where did I come across this book and what?
Yeah, why did you read The Empowered Wife?
I'm on a support group for, it's called Wives of ADHD. And I got on there when I was struggling with certain aspects of Maciek's ADHD and I just didn't know how to handle it. And he would have certain things that I didn't understand. Like he had some, like now I understand because I've learned a lot about ADHD, but his brain was basically firing. Like it's like almost all the pistons were firing at once. And he would just get really, he would go into meltdown mode and I didn't know how to handle it. So I joined this group called The Wives of ADHD. And a lot of them mentioned this book, The Empowered Wife, because a lot of them had been going to counseling. We went to counseling and it helped a little bit, but it wasn't like this revolutionary change. And then a lot of the women in this group recommended this book. So I'm like, why not? And I picked it up and I started reading it and it just seemed like almost like it was written by a man, like, to like just take care of your husband, you know? And I was like, but I don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. So I started, it's a book about six sort of principles that you practice.
We need to be clear. It's not a book just for people who are married to ADD or ADHD people.
No,
it's an actual book about marriage, right?
It's a book about marriage and it was written by Laura Doyle. And so she's a coach. She's not a counselor. She's a coach. She's a relationship coach. And she talks a lot about coaching versus counseling, which I'll get into in a second. But she basically was at like almost at on divorce mode. Like her husband was sleeping on the couch. She was sleeping in the bedroom. Like they were about to get divorced. She saw no real way forward. They had done the counseling. They had done talking. They had done all this stuff. And she was just like, I don't know what to do anymore. And she just came up with the idea to start talking to couples who had been married for a long amount of time. So like over 15 years, 20 years, you know, and doing research. So sort of like a Brené Brown with the research, she was like doing the research to see what common factors kept these people together. Like how did these women, these men, how did these couples stay together for so long? Like what was their secret? And she interviewed like thousands and thousands of couples and she came up with like these six things that basically the women did, which excluded the men completely, which I was like so happy about because every time I try to get Maciek on board with doing something for us, it never seems to work. And this book excludes the man completely. It's all about focusing on yourself.
So these are things we can do to feel empowered in our relationship that might improve it.
She said, and this is her theory, And I'm still testing it because I'm still going through the practices because it takes a while to practice. But in her personal experience, which I love, she started practicing these things and she changed, and therefore the dynamic in their relationship changed and their marriage was saved. So focusing on completely 100% on yourself rather than the marriage.
Which is such a big deal, I think, in marriage, because if you don't just agree to change yourself and not the other person, you're leading with your ego. If you don't humble yourself and take a knee and say, okay, I'm going to change me and see what that does. I think that's a huge step in the right direction for a marriage.
Yeah. She talks about a lot. She spends I think two chapters or a very long chapter, because I was listening to it on the audiobook, talking about why counseling doesn't work. Because she said, you go in there and the focus isn't all about you. It is about the marriage, and she goes, whether you like it or not, in your head, you're always going to want the counselor to tell your partner that they need to do something different so you'll be happier.
Yeah.
And that is, you know what? I love her honesty, because that's true. Like, I did go to marriage counseling secretly wanting the therapist to tell Magic that he had to get his shit together. I did.
Of course you did. Of course you did.
Yeah.
Well, obviously.
Yeah.
That's why you even tell your girlfriends about it. They're like, you know, they're going to say it's his fault.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
and then
I remember when our marriage was on the brink and Jason just went to counseling for himself.
Just himself. Yeah.
And I thought that was so crazy. And he actually went to two counselors, good cop and bad cop, he called them.
Did he go to, was he going to them at the same time?
Yes. He took on two counselors, one that would not let him bullshit and the other one that would coddle him a little bit. And it really, really helped our marriage.
Wow. Wow. Yeah.
But I didn't go with him.
Yeah. She said that was the key for her. Like, she was just constantly focusing on the relationship and what they needed to do and what he needed to do. And then she was like willing to work on herself, but it was like focus was her, the relationship, and him. And she said it just didn't work for them. Like, it was like short solutions, because they kept focusing on the problems. And she was like, they were better for a period of time and then they got much worse. And so she started, you know, feeling hopeless. And so she started implementing these, you know, these six things. She basically gathered all the information and kind of found these six common denominators, which is, I'll read them to you. And then I'm going to kind of go through them, like how I'm starting to practice them and like what I got out of the book. So first she calls it six skills. Replenishing your own spirit with self-care. That's the first one. Restoring respect. Yeah.
Self-care. I cannot fucking stand those two words together.
I was like, when I read these, I really didn't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater, because I also am not huge on that word. But it was actually my favorite chapter when I read it.
Okay.
Skill number two is restoring respect in the relationship. So that I'll tell you how to do that. Skill number three, relinquishing controlling your man's. Do not control your man's.
I think that is the worst thing you can try to do for a man.
Oh man. Yeah.
It is the no. No. And then you want him to also be a man, which is kiss of death.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah. Might as well chop off their penis.
Yeah. And then hold it. And I'm Bobbit. Y'all know Bobbit. Skill number four is receive, receive, receive. So yeah. Skill number five, reveal your heart with vulnerability, which was our topic last week. So it's like, woohoo. And then skill six is refocus your view with gratitude. So practicing gratitude. Yeah. So those are the six skills. And so she, first skill, the self-care bit. So she said that, like, So the first skill she was talking, she talks a lot about, we don't even know what self-care really is. And we do not plug in and acknowledge our desires as women, right? Because we get so busy, right?
I think that's very true.
Yeah. And so she says, like, and very often we communicate our desires in a way that's, why don't you do this for me? Like, why don't, or why don't we, right? And she's like, that's just like the bad way to communicate, because it automatically puts like this pressure on your husband.
Yeah.
You know,
I need you,
you too.
To
yeah.
Lick my fill in the blank.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ice cream. It's dripping.
Help me.
Yeah. So it's, you know, and she said very often women, they have these desires, right? Like, say it's dancing, like ballroom dancing. That's not mine, but like, just she gave that as an example. Like, we should go ballroom dancing. You know, we should really take a class in ballroom dancing. Like, that's the communication wives very often give their husbands. We should do this. So they communicate their desires through this we thing, right? Mm. She says, like, fuck the we thing. Like, get rid of the we thing. Sit down and make a list of your desires. Like, what you want in your heart of hearts. Like, yeah. On a daily basis, like, what you want for your dreams. Like, sit down and make a list. Whatever so that what is.
What was on your list?
There was big desires, and then there was just like small daily desires. So I really want to take an acting class. I used to be in theater when I was younger, and it brought me like so much joy, and I just kind of put that to the wayside. So I want to do that again. Painting. Like, I really want to like paint and invest in that and start painting. Live by the ocean, like oceanside, like, or by some bigger thing of water where I have a big, where there's waves. So either a big lake or waterside. Peaceful mornings, trips by myself.
Wow.
Like solo trips. Just, you know, being more active. Those are some of the things on my list. Yeah. So just, I had a big list, right? And I really had to sit and think about it, you know?
Did that feel like, it feels awkward when you write down that list?
It feels like these are just like dreams or, you know, whatever. But I was like, okay, I'm doing this list. And expressing that desire in the relationship, you know, rather than saying like, oh, we should go ballroom dancing. Like, I would love to go ballroom dancing. And doing, just expressing those desires. And then another thing is to practice self-care every single day. That was another thing. So if you need alone and quiet time during the day, you do that no matter what. So all about like focusing on making yourself happy. Because if you're looking for your husband to make you happy, then he is the holder of your desires.
I think that is the kiss of death when you have to rely on someone for your own joy.
Yeah.
And I think that puts too much weight on anyone's shoulders. Like anyone.
Yeah.
I mean, we feel it like from each other every now and again, but like sometimes I just think like in a marriage, and I'm no expert, but like if I take in my mind, I want to do everything to make him happy and he doesn't rely on me to do anything to make him happy, it's all icing on the cake for him and vice versa.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, I think that the whole first chapter about self-care was like, quit looking to your husband to make you happy, like become a happy, vibrant woman, figure out what that is and do it, you know?
Okay.
And I really like that. And then she also said like, stop complaining. And this is linked to the desires, right? So very often we have a desire, but it's masked by a complaint. Like she gave this example, which really resonated with me. Like, I am so sick of this heat. That's a complaint, right? So she said to really, okay, so what's the desire? The desire is to feel cool and fresh, right? And to communicate it in that way, like, oh, it would be so amazing to feel cool and fresh rather than I'm so sick of this heat, you know, or we need to save more money. That's kind of a complaint. And that also puts pressure on the husband in some way. So just saying, okay, looking, why do you want to save money? What's your desire? But, oh, I need to feel secure. I want to go to, you know, whatever, on vacation, whatever that is. So just kind of really digging into your desires. So I really got on board with that. I really liked it.
Yeah, I like it. I don't want to complain. I don't want to be a complainer. Yeah. I think it's annoying.
Yeah. And then, you know, the nagging too, like the nagging because your husband isn't meeting your needs, like meet your own needs is what she's saying, you know, and expressing it in like this communication, we never have sex anymore. Like that just puts more pressure on just saying, I would love to have sex with you,
you know,
like, look at those two communications. So it's really about sort of plugging into the joy, into the desire, and expressing it in that way rather than in a negative way.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, a lot of women, like, instead of, they'll say, I don't have a drive to have sex. I don't want to have sex, instead of saying, I really need to feel more comfortable with myself before I can be vulnerable in that way, or something like that. Like admitting something that has, sometimes it says, I don't want to have sex, that like almost lends it to be like the husband's fault.
Yeah.
Versus saying, I am not where I want to be.
Yeah.
You know, it's not you. It's, you know, I feel something, or, you know, just taking responsibility of what you'd rather be, or what you need to be able to do stuff.
Yeah.
Like that, be vulnerable in that way.
Yeah.
Good.
Taking accountability. So I really like this chapter. I was like, because I do realize that I do very often look to my partner to meet some needs, you know, and get frustrated because he's not doing it, and then voice it in such a way that he feels even more dejected, you know?
Yeah.
And she has this theory that men, her husband anyway, is attracted to her when she's happy and vibrant. And not when she's nagging and like looking at him like he's a piece of crap. And, you know, she like, so that's, she just started taking care of herself. Like she started fighting for what she wanted, you know, because I think often as women too, we sacrifice our needs often because we get into this busy thing. I know you do, you know, I know you like to be alone. And you're, you know, you're homeschooling, you're doing this, you're taking care of your whole family, you're cooking, you're doing everything. Right. And she said that like, keep a part of yourself during that every day. She said, hang on to this part of yourself and nurture that part of yourself.
I really need to be better about that.
Yeah.
I mean, cause you're like bringing up stuff. I would love to take a trip by myself.
Yeah.
I would love to. And of course I think I, you know, scratch my own ego's back by like, I can't leave right now. I can't, like, Scarlett needs me. Jason needs me. We shouldn't spend the money. We're spending on all this stuff. I would love to do it. And probably nobody would give a shit if I did. So yeah, you're right. You're right. I do that. And I do it to make myself feel more important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And then sometimes we're afraid, you know, we have this fear of what they think of me, or we have shame around it. So this is like really tied into Brené Brown. So just owning it, you know, and I remember like, yeah, there was shame around certain things. Like, I'm afraid to tell him that I want to go on vacation by myself because he's going to be hurt that I don't want to go with him, you know, and just like, kind of
has
like,
has he met him? Has he even met himself? He knows nobody wants to go on vacation with him. No, I'm just kidding.
Which brings us to the next skill, which is restore respect. I just skipped over that chapter.
Yeah, why even bother?
Yeah. But
what does that entail?
So this one was a little bit hard to swallow for me. Ba-dum-bum. You know, I always swallow.
Say you had to respect yourself.
Always swallow.
Always, always.
So she said to practice saying whatever you think rather than fight on every issue. I hear you when he has a suggestion rather than fighting him on issues. So whatever you think is right, or I hear you, rather than saying, yeah, rather than trying to be right all the time or arguing, even if you totally disagree with whatever he's saying, practice doing that and just try it out.
I already do it. I do it left and right. Cause I don't give a shit about anything.
Yeah.
Mostly. Yeah. Like if I give a shit about it, I'm going to say I want what I want. But for the most part, like Jason's in charge of, like, he cares about the, you know, cars and the TVs, and it's like, whatever you think. Like if it comes to the look of the house, I give a shit. But like for the most part, I do trust him in that way.
Exactly. And really great that you said that, because this restores that you trust his judgment. Right.
Yeah.
And bring it up a level to respect too. Like if he says, what do you want to eat? Don't say, I don't care. Say, surprise me, or I trust your judgment, you know, those kind of things rather than I don't care, you pick, you know? Yeah.
I use a lot of that with Scarlett, you know, I do trust her judgment.
Yeah.
And I do trust Jason more than I trust any other person on earth.
Yeah.
So saying things like that, I think, come naturally. But when they don't, if you're in a position where you don't trust your partner, that's hard as hell.
Yeah. Yeah.
To be on.
Go ahead.
To be at your, like, if they don't, do you, like, it's scary if you don't think that the person that you live with has your best interest in mind.
Yeah. It reminds me of this quote that Patrick Lencioni, he's a business coach and consultant. And he always says the only way to trust people is to trust them. And I just love that. Yeah. It's one of my favorite quotes of all time. Like, don't get into the whole, just trust them. That's it. If you get hurt, you get hurt. And that's all about being vulnerable too. Like the only way to trust people is just to trust them. And that's it. Trust them.
It's a lack of trust in yourself. Like if you don't trust the person you're with, that means you actually don't trust yourself or your judgment, because you fucking picked them.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So it's like all about not trusting your own gut.
And it's all, and it's all about like this weird self-protection. Like I can't trust him because then I'll be hurt. You know, it's all about what, you know, you're not opening yourself up to intimacy if you're not allowing yourself to trust, you know,
and looking
for reasons not to trust. What's that?
Life is suffering. Like, what are you worried about? You're going to get hurt. Okay.
Yeah.
You're going to be hurt anyway.
Yeah, exactly. So, and then a lot of this chapter is kind of like language, right? Like, don't say like, oh, whatever you think, but just say, you know, I trust that you'll make a great choice. Like, I surprise me, like, kind of like restore the power dynamic, because I think very often you and I are both powerful women, right? Mm-hmm. So we like making the decision. So kind of giving that over to him, like to let him feel like the man sometimes, and feel like you trust him and you kind of honor him. And that was a big part of this chapter.
I think that is one of the things that, like, it might be a misconception about me, but like in our home, I am the feminine energy. And Jason is the masculine energy. Mm. We've set up our relationships like that. Like I am powerful. I'm a powerful woman. I'm a powerful friend. I'm a powerful daughter. I walk in power, but so does he.
Yeah.
And my power doesn't, him empowering me and me empowering him doesn't take away our power. It grows it together.
And I love that you just said that, because this book is a lot about feminine power. And I think as women, we have this misconception that in order to be powerful, we have to suck in the male power and the female power. And we have to be all the alpha and the omega. And that is just not true.
It is absolutely not true. And I think we're doing a huge disservice to our partners and our men in our life, because they aren't being allowed to be men in a very, very crazy way. Like, you don't have control over your house if your husband is bowing to you.
Yeah.
Like, and you both have to do it.
I think what's interesting and where it gets complicated is, especially in the ADHD dynamic, where the person with ADHD is sort of kind of can't do certain things. So the women step up and do it for them. And then then that's where it's like, you're almost mothering. So it's like, to stop doing that, to kind of let him feel empowered a bit, you know, but of course we do it because we live in these times where things have to be taken care of and they have to be taken care of fast. So like, oh, I'll just do it, you know, and to stop doing that, you know, allow him.
I do think it's not just ADHD. It's like, I think that like this, you know, the last couple of generations, they don't know where they stand as men anyway.
Yeah.
So they are like rudderless.
Yeah.
And like giving them I'm not saying we have power over them, but at least don't take their power.
Yeah.
You know, like if you can't find it in yourself or you don't know how to empower another human being, at least don't take their power. But yeah. I see it happening all the time.
I mean, it's happening. It's happening. It's the sign of the times. Like, women are working. Like, I know so many couples where the woman is the breadwinner, you know, and it's just about finding that balance. Cause I have a friend who she's the breadwinner, but he runs the household, like with the kids, and they have found each other's power. And I think that's really important.
I still think that I don't think that like making the money or anything like that has to do with male and female energy. I think that at the end of the day, the man still is the man and the woman still is the woman. And, you know, if you look at the different energies, and we all embody both of them.
Yeah.
You know, like they still exist within both of us, and we shouldn't snuff out either energies in each other anyway.
Yeah. I agree with that.
You know?
Yeah. It's interesting. I had this ex, this was years ago. This was like 25 years ago. And I remember somebody asked him, what do you love about Isabella? And he said, she knows how to make me feel like the man, you know, like she really does. Mm-hmm. And I remember I made him feel needed. Like, even if I could open the jar, I always handed him the jar so he could open it. And it was these little things. Like, I let him open the door for me. Like, I let him do things, even though I could do them. I received, and that's another chapter that we're going to go into.
I think that's a huge deal. I think letting a man help you, you know, rather than, you know, it's not fake and it's not a lie. Like, when I don't want to take out the garbage. I don't want to do it. I've never done it. I don't want to do it. It's, you know, I joke with Jason that I ended up getting married because I was sick of carrying my own shit.
Good reason.
But I don't want to carry anything. I don't want to carry heavy things. And let me tell you, there are things he doesn't want to do that, you know, come from a feminine point of view. Like, you know, like, there are things he just doesn't want to do in our marriage or in our house that I'm better at.
Yeah.
He's stronger. Of course, he's like, you've got to let them be who they are and be who you are and stay in your lane. And I think that's really hard for women these days.
Oh, man. So I noticed it. I started kind of reviewing the last few weeks, and there's this little shop near our house, and we go there sometimes, and I was packing the bag and then I took it, and he goes, let me carry that. I'm like, I got it. I got it. Mm-hmm. Let him carry it. let him carry it. So that was a lesson for me. Like, I'm just going to let him.
I remember deep in the beginning of our relationship, Jason and I, we went down and met Jason's parents. And we were leaving the beach, and Jason's mom and dad were there, and they were staying, and we were going to take off. So I gather everything, and I pick up the bag, and I'm leaving, and Jason's father is like, Jason, carry bag. Jason, carry bag. Because he, like, didn't speak, like, fully. Like,
yeah,
but he was, like, so insistent that his son take the woman's bag.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, you know, I was, because I'm from such, I was raised by a single mom, you know, that we didn't have a man in the household all the time. And like, I was used to doing things on my own. So, but it was like, okay, yeah, this man has been raised to be a man. Like, he opens doors. He doesn't, like, I mean, he, and this is a feminist, when you bastardize the words, their nightmare to talk like this.
I know. I read reviews of this book, and they're like, it's written by the patriarchy and this and that, but I don't care. Whatever, you know, like,
we'd like to invite you, if you're taking offense to this, to do your own thing. It's okay.
This is about us. This is about my experience. And I am a cis woman, and I'm married to a cis man, and whatever that is.
I don't even know what that means yet.
It's just regular old guy and girl. Oh, okay. And like, I'm going to let him carry the fucking bag. Okay. If he needs it, that's fine.
I don't know what my pronoun has to be to make me not have to do the shit I don't want to do, but there's where I'm at. I identify as fucking lazy.
Yeah. All right. Skill number four, which I have mastered, is to relinquish control of your man. So don't control how he does his hair, what he eats, how he dresses, etc. I don't do that at all. I don't really care. He does
Jason's
that more
colorblind. Jason's colorblind. So he gets rejected about like 3 times a week. I'm like, that doesn't go.
Well, here it just says, like, let him be. Like, I don't control, you know, he picks out what he wants. He does what he wants. He sleeps when he wants. Like, I'm fine. This skill I got mastered. And it just kind of says, like, what are you afraid of in that control? And very often, it's like, you're afraid of what people will think of you because of what he looks like. And the only place I have still control, and I have a very hard time letting go because it drives me nuts, is when we're all going out to dinner. He has this thing that he does. Whenever the meal is served, he somehow has to make a phone call. And everyone's waiting.
Why does he do that?
I don't know. It's a weird thing. But I've just started to let it go and just let him go. And just like, everybody just eat. Like, we're not waiting for him. And then,
yeah.
That improves the relationship because he stops feeling the pressure that he has to be, you know, and then I stop getting angry. So that's interesting. Letting go of those places where you want to control.
Yeah. Mine is like, I control Jason's food
because
I buy all the food. So it's whatever I want him to eat. Yeah. I like, you know, but I mean, here's what I know. I've tried to control what Jason wears and it doesn't work. I've tried to control, like, it does not work. Yeah. It doesn't work. So like, the definition of insanity, like, I've just quit trying, like, just don't even bother. And God help him. He's the best husband in this way. He, in the beginning of our relationship, like, he'll tell the story, and sometime we'll have him on here. He'll say, he said, you know, when I realized very quickly that I wasn't going to control what Lizzie spends. I just had to make more money. And I love him for that because he doesn't want to change anything about me.
Yeah. That is a beautiful human being. Yeah.
That is I think he like enjoys observing me in my natural habitat, like kind of like a monkey at the zoo, but he doesn't try to change me at all.
Yeah.
You know,
that's beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's if a man is listening, don't try to change your wife either. Because she's actually going to be, if you let her go, she's going to be more beautiful than you ever could have imagined if you like let her know that like that's cool.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
I think women, when empowered like that, they become so, they blossom into so much more than you could ever imagine.
Yeah. 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 Agreed. Cool. Skill number four, receive, receive, receive. So this is where you are just appreciative of everything that he does, right? You say, thank you. You love the gifts, you know, you're willing to receive gifts, compliments, help, just receive it. Just, you know, say, thank you, give a hug, like really receive what he, whatever he's trying to give.
I think that's really hard for women. Yeah. I think that's really, really hard. It's not hard for me. I love it.
Yeah.
I'm good at receiving, but I wasn't always that way. And I think that like, I see my girlfriends struggling. I see the ones that don't struggle and I see the ones that do struggle and the ones that do is won't accept help.
Yeah.
And they won't accept, you know, whatever. Like it might be just carrying the bag right now, but it could end up being way more if you get them used to helping and feeling confident to help.
Yeah. And even if you don't like something that he gets you, like come up with a fake compliment for it, just be receptive, just be open, just be happy. And I could work on this because he'll do something like today he went and bought the groceries. He bought some really good bread. And I just was like, oh, thanks. But like, go kind of over the top with it. Like, oh my God, this bread is so good. Thank you so much for buying it, and giving him a big hug rather than just like, you know, so just kind of be open because you deserve to receive, you deserve those things, and coming at it from that perspective, you know, so that's kind of like another.
And the more grateful you are, the more you get.
Yeah.
Like in life. So, you know, it's make it fun. I wish more people would make it more fun to give to them.
Yeah. And if you're showing so much joy and gratitude from getting it, you're just going to get more. And that's life, right? It's not just your husband.
So much
it's life. Like if I read this quote once that it like scared the shit out of me, but then also made me think, it was like, if you're not grateful for what you have, why on earth will the universe give you more? And I'm like, oh, I better be grateful now for everything because I want more.
Way to be scarce about gratitude.
Shit, I need to be grateful so I can get more.
Nicely done.
Thank you. But I love that quote though. And that's the thing. Like, you know, it was today, like the bread was an example. Like he went out of his way to buy this really nice bread from this bakery. And I kind of just went like, I kind of acknowledged. I don't even think I said thanks. I just acknowledged it with a nod that he did.
Maciek speaks. That's my exact love language is bread.
Bread and butter, baby. Crusty bread with like warm on the inside, little sourdough.
Like my soul comes alive in like a bakery. Like I start to get like choked up when I think about going to France.
Oh my gosh. I mean, we have to, so like, how long will you be in France, by the way? Like, do you know?
We haven't booked the tickets. So we only have a Taylor Swift concert ticket.
Okay. It would be good for you to go for like 2 or 3 weeks a week is too short because you have jet lag. You're kind of just getting used to it and then you have to go. So it's like two or three weeks minimum.
At least 2 weeks we're going for sure.
Yeah. And then we
maybe more
have to go to this beautiful French mountain village where there was croissants and foie gras on every corner. And it was just
okay. Isa, don't fuck with me. Don't fuck with me right now. Those are my two words. Croissant.
What's your love language? Foie gras. Words of affirmation. It's croissants and foie gras.
Jason asked for my hand in marriage in a French restaurant.
Oh, really? Did he do it in French or no? No, just in English.
No.
Mm-hmm. That would have been funny if you wore like a little mustache and then a little beret and you're like.
So I would have probably said no.
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 You would have said
no. Scoffed at him.
Oh.
But I didn't. I said yes.
Oh.
Over foie gras.
Really? Oh. Mm-hmm. The ring in the foie gras, like.
I swallow the ring. Okay, so what's are we on
number five? We're on number five, okay. Which is reveal your heart with vulnerability. So, and this is, it takes some self-knowledge and self-awareness. So instead of defending yourself, for example, when you're hurt, saying I'm hurt. Oh. Instead of saying you're never home, saying I miss you, like acknowledging the part of you that is hurt and weak, rather than being defensive, rather than you know, when you're overwhelmed, like blaming, saying I'm overwhelmed, I can't, I need help. Acknowledging the weakness in you, which is so,
this is
my Achilles heel.
It's a game changer.
Yeah,
it's a game changer. It's so, there was an experience the other night, like Jason got home. I had Scarlett all like she wasn't in the best mood. I was trying my best and still like fucking it up, like parenting and schooling and everything. And he got in and I'm folding like this big load of laundry. And he was like, I was just like, I'm just like, you know, I had a really rough day. And he's like, oh, you live to fight another day. And I just like ripped him a new asshole because I was like, you know, like, he didn't say that, but it was like close to that. It was like very you're fine. Like whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was like, Jesus, like, you know, like he didn't call me a cunt, but it was definitely in his eyes.
Yeah. Cunt. He called you cunt in his eyes. Yeah.
Yeah. Those eyes said cunt. And I said, if those guys could speak, they were using the C word. And I just finally, I looked at him. I said, I'm sorry. I'm just empty. This has nothing to do with you. I'm just like seriously, seriously spent. Like I'm giving my A game and shitting the bed.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's, you know, I'm hurting. I'm empty. And he was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. You know, like,
yeah. Vulnerability is much better than defensiveness or anger and I've noticed that in my relationship when I am vulnerable, when I'm like, I'm really struggling, I'm so sad. He wants to step up and help. Mm-hmm. But when I'm like pretending that it's all fine and then getting angry instead, or just like, it just doesn't, you know, and getting mad at him for not stepping up, it doesn't work. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Like, it's that admitting the weakness, which is so hard.
I know, and it's so hard. And remember Starlight said when we had her on, you got to hear what the soul is saying, not what the mouth is saying. Yeah. Like, and I think that's so important in a marriage, is to be like, okay, he's acting like a dick or an idiot, only a half idiot. But like, or whatever, what is he really dealing with? Like, sometimes I'll be like, okay, what's going on here?
Yeah. Well, men, they have even a more difficult time admitting vulnerability. So kind of having compassion for that. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was number five. And then number six is refocus your view with gratitude. So that is, she said, that's the most powerful, powerful skill, powerful thing to do. And it's interesting because in my recovery, gratitude has been like the most important thing. And there's a quote that this one guy in our meeting said, which is, a grateful heart doesn't need a drink. And I love that so much. So cultivating gratitude, just, you know, making a list of three things, writing down three things your spouse every day about your spouse that you're thankful for about him. Three things every day, writing it down. And it's so funny because my sponsor, she told me to do this when I was going through a really bad time with my addiction, but she said six things. you're an
alcoholic. She's an overachiever.
You need to double fist it. Six things.
Oh my God. That's good. That's good.
So, cultivating gratitude and just finding
what kind of things do you write down? What do you write? What have you been writing?
I'm grateful that he, had worked really hard his whole career to afford us to buy us this house. I'm grateful that he is the most honest human being I have ever met. He is unable to tell a lie. He literally cannot lie. Like, I'm so grateful for that. I'm grateful for the fact that he steps out of his comfort zone, like a lot, to do things like building the house. Like, that wasn't in his comfort zone. He lived in tiny apartments his whole life, you know? Mm-hmm. So he went out, even though he was like afraid, he bought this land. He like started building this house because I wanted it, you know? I'm grateful that he's able to apologize and reflect. So there's loads that I'm grateful for. Yeah. There's loads that I'm grateful for.
That's amazing.
I'm grateful that he bought this yummy bread today. Like, that's going to be on my gratitude list in the evening.
Oh my God. That's such great. That's like a man that brings you bread. I mean, come on now.
That's the number one, I think.
It's like, it's almost as good as a man that would bring you coffee.
Yeah. Yeah. And having that thankful mindset about your partner and focusing on the good. So those are some of the principles, the practices. So I'm going to start practicing those. It's not easy. And I'm sure I'm going to slip up and revert to, but I'm going to try this for like a month. Like, I'm going to keep reading them and I'm going to keep practicing them and I'm going to see where I am at the end of the month.
Well, thank you for reading it. I think it's helped me and it's been a reminder of, you know, how far Jason and I have come.
Yeah.
Because like in the beginning of our relationship, these weren't there. These things that like, and I like everything that you read off is like something that we try to do.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, we have a very solution based arguments, you know, like they get start out heated and then we're like, whoa, like we're both on the same side. And, you know, I'm so glad that like, this is a great reminder for me and I'm going to try to be more grateful for everything that we have and do together.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I think my biggest
next week. Oh, wait, no, go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, no. I just want to say, I think my biggest takeaway was, the softer side of Sears, just becoming a little more softer because I tend to pride myself on being this powerful bitch and just being a little more softer, like being a little more vulnerable. Vulnerability, word of the year, like, being a little more grateful, a little more like loving and kind rather than like tough. Cause I love tough love, you know, don't beat around the bush, you know, but,
everybody being, likes a good spanking every now and again.
Yeah. But, just being a little more, a little softer. Yeah.
Well, I mean, and the truth is like, we're, you know, powerful bitch, but true power does not have to peacock.
Yeah.
You know, true power sits still and, you know, kind of like radiates it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so.
Next week, what do we do next week?
Next week.
I think you should do something about health. Maybe you should do a whole, like, I would love a tutorial about red light therapy and what it does. Like, that would be amazing.
Well, we're going to do red light. Let's do, let's talk about the benefits of cold.
Yeah.
Plunging or cold. Until I prove to myself that I can do it for like 60 days straight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've been doing like a cold rinse every morning and it fucking sucks. I'm not sure that this is for me, but I'm just telling you, I'm doing it. We'll do infrared sauna. Because it's an extremely reasonably priced way to get some major health benefits.
Yeah.
And we will do red light therapy, which is, you know I did cryotherapy before and red light therapy, and that's why I'm so beautiful now. But it's now in my home and I'm doing it every day. So we'll talk about the benefits of cold rinsing or cold plunging. Infrared saunas and red light therapy next week.
Yay. Can't wait to hear all about it.
Yeah, I'm excited too.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate you. And I'll see you next Tuesday.
See you next Tuesday.
Thanks for joining us this week on We Need Help, the podcast, the duct tape of self-help.
Please visit our website, weneedhelpthepodcast.com, where you can find links to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, YouTube, and all the others, so you'll never miss a show.
You'll also find links to the books we've reviewed and our amazing store.
If you enjoy this podcast, go right now, because if you're anything like us, you'll never do it later. Like and share our page and episodes on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, or just tell a friend about the show. That would help us out too.
Also, feel free to let us know what you need help with, and we'll try to cover it in a future episode. You can also find us on Instagram at @weneedhelp_thepodcast.
Thank you for listening.